Morning. We'll be getting started here in just a minute. We're actually live on three platforms this morning because I found out that I can add sermon audio for these morning devotionals. So we're live this morning on YouTube, on Facebook, and on sermon audio, all at the same time. Technology is wonderful, isn't it? When it works. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome on this Wednesday morning, April 1st, April Fool's Day, as some say. My nephew Travis's 30th birthday. So I have about 20. 21, 22, I should probably count them up, 22 nieces and nephews, that's terrible, I should know that number off the top of my head. Anyway, the oldest is Travis Tidwell, who's 30 years old today. So, happy birthday, Trav man, and let's see, we're in Psalm 11 today. I want to give you some announcements for next week, just to give you a heads up. Next week is Holy Week, believe it or not, this Sunday is Palm Sunday. And that means next week is Holy Week. Easter is April 12th this year. Resurrection Day, Resurrection Sunday is April 12th. So next week we're going to do things a little bit differently. And here's what I can tell you so far. We're going to meet at 8:30 every morning next week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, five times we're going to meet. We're going to focus on that last week of the life of Jesus. We're also going to have, a Palm Sunday message on Sunday. That's going to come from Isaiah 52, and then our Resurrection Day message will come from Isaiah 53, and we're going to focus our attention on the resurrection in Isaiah 53. We are going to talk about the atoning death of Christ for our sins, but we're going to focus on the resurrection as seen in Isaiah 53, which is something that a lot of people don't know is there and miss it. So that's going to be the focus on Resurrection Day. We're also going to have special Good Friday worship times. So Jesus was on the cross from the sixth hour until about the ninth hour. That is roughly equivalent to noon to 3 p.m. So during those hours, noon to 3 p.m., my plan, as of right now, is to have three special worship times that are centered around the seven last sayings of Christ from the cross. So we'll have one from noon until about 12:30. We'll have one from 1:15 until about 1:45. And then we'll have one from 2:30 until 3 o'clock. It'll be three half-hour worship times focused on the seven last sayings of Christ on the cross. And so that's going to be our focus on Good Friday. Normally as a church, we do a Maundy Thursday worship time, but that's very much focused on the Lord's Supper, since Maundy Thursday was the time when our Lord had the Last Supper with his disciples and instituted the Lord's Supper. We're not doing a Maundy Thursday service this year because we can't do the Lord's Supper online. You may have seen some things on the web about how you can do the Lord's Supper online. We are not doing the Lord's Supper online. I have a strong conviction that that is not appropriate. So we will look forward to having the Lord's Supper together when we get back together again, but that will not be happening until then, so we're not going to have a Maundy Thursday service. And I thought, well, we're all home during the day, and be a great opportunity to sort of take those 3 hours. I'm going to encourage you to take those 3 hours from noon until 3 and sort of set them aside as worship time, and we're going to have one time together at the beginning, one time together in the middle, and one time together at the end, framed around those seven last sayings of Christ from the cross. So that's our plan for Holy Week. Palm Sunday, Isaiah 52, every morning, 8:30, on the last week of the life of Christ. Good Friday, from noon to 3, three special worship times, and then Resurrection Day, Isaiah 53, the resurrection from Isaiah. But today is not Holy Week yet. Today is Psalm 11. And boy, is this an appropriate psalm for such a time as this, because this is a time when a lot of people are beginning to get a little frayed around the edges. We've been in quarantine for a while now, and some people are starting to panic. And so this is a great perspective psalm. Like I said, when this whole thing started, we need three things to keep us through this time, right? Prayer, preparation, and perspective. And two of the three is why we're meeting together here on these mornings, is for prayer and for perspective. So, Psalm 11 is written to the choir master, and it is a psalm of David. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see. His eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning at a time when in our culture and in the world, it feels like the foundations are being shaken. The foundations of our economy, the foundations of our government, the foundations of our healthcare structure, all these things that people trust in feel like they're being shaken. But you are in your holy temple. You are on your throne in heaven. You are still the sovereign one. So be with us this morning as we walk through this psalm together. Give us wisdom by your Spirit and write this psalm on our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Psalm 11. So like I said, this is a choir master. By the way, we have Bob this morning with us for our devotional time. Bob's my preaching Bible, and it's one of my favorite Bibles. And so that's what we're using this morning. You can ask me later if you don't know why he's called Bob. I'll tell you the story. Okay, so this is to the choir master. It is a Psalm of David. And it's one of these that's more personal and is coming out of a time of distress and anguish from David's life. We don't know the exact circumstances of it, but it's a time when people were saying to him, you better run away because things are bad. It's time to run. It's time to hide. Things are bad, right? But he's saying, in the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, and notice how the rest of verse 1 to verse 3 is in quotes. This is what the panicked people are saying to David that David is not going to listen to. And I emphasize that because I can tell you the very first time I ever heard Psalm 11 quoted in my life was back in high school. And it was in the context of people saying just verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And, you know, they were talking about cultural decay and rising unbelief and immorality in the West and all these things happening. And they would say, look, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And these are kind of the professional panic police that exist within Christendom. I won't go into more detail than that. But they were saying this back when I was in high school. Okay, so we're talking 1990 was probably about the time when I heard this. And the fact is that's a quote out of context. The Bible does not encourage panic in the face of rising evil. This is what the panicked people are saying to David that he's answering. He's answering this with a strong confidence that says, "In the Lord I take refuge." So he says, "How can you say this to my soul? Flee like a bird to your mountain, for behold, the wicked bend the bow. They fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" This is the panic. What's David's answer to the panic? It's very simple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Now, we understand this to be a reference to heaven. Probably some people in Jerusalem might have mistaken this as the Ark of the Covenant. The temple itself, Solomon's temple, hadn't been built yet, which is one of the reasons why I take this to be heaven. But also we know that the earthly sanctuaries of the tabernacle and the temple were just copies of the true heavenly temple, which is what Revelation's all about. Revelation's all about giving us a peek behind the curtain into the true heavenly temple. So David's answer is this: the Lord is in his holy temple. In other words, God is in heaven. God is not shaken. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. All the turmoil that we go through in life, one way that we can look at it is to see it as a test from God. God is in control. God is on his throne in heaven, and he's looking, he's watching, he's testing. And he makes a great distinction between the righteous and the wicked in these times of trial and testing and shaking. He's testing the righteous, but he hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. You have probably seen, if you've spent time online at all, you've probably seen unbelievers mocking God or blaming God's people for the COVID-19 pandemic. There was an opinion piece run in the New York Times yesterday, I think, or maybe the day before yesterday, very recently, in which the editorialist, the columnist, it was just an opinion piece, the columnist said that evangelical Christians and their anti-science attitudes are slowing down our response to the coronavirus outbreak. Really? So those same anti-science evangelical Christians must be really active in Italy and Spain, because those countries are also suffering worse than we are in terms of death rate, for sure. So it's just looking for a scapegoat. And so often, unbelievers look to make believers a scapegoat. We just need to not be surprised by that. But there is a distinction made in these times of shaking. Part of what God is doing is making a distinction. Who is going to turn to him? Who is going to trust him? Who's going to cry out to him? And who's going to turn away? Who's going to blame God or mock God? For the Lord is righteous, is how Psalm 11 closes. It's a wonderful close. I love this final verse. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. And then here's the promise that ends it. The upright shall behold his face. So the opening is a proclamation from David. In the Lord I take refuge. And the closing is a promise from God, the upright shall behold his face. And we see this promise played out for us in the New Testament in 1 John chapter 3, which is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Don't ask me how many favorite passages of Scripture I have. There's too many to count. But this is definitely one of them. The upright shall behold his face. And here's the further unfolding of that promise in 1 John 3 for those of us who trust in Jesus Christ. He says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So Psalm 11:7 is saying, the upright shall behold his face. And then 1 John 3:2 unfolds that further and says, when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Is there a better promise in the Bible than that? When we see Jesus face to face, in a flash, we will be transformed into his likeness. We will be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So I hope, in perspective, that we will pray Psalm 11 today, and that we will say with David, in the Lord I take refuge. How can you tell me to panic when the Lord is on his throne in heaven, and he is watching, and he is testing, and he's given us a promise? He loves his own, and his own shall see his face, and when we see his face, we will be transformed into his likeness forever. That's the hope. Whether it's COVID-19 or something else that's threatening our earthly existence, our hope is that in the Lord, the end of this life is the beginning of real life as we are transformed into his likeness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of life that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for rescuing us from sin and death. We would be the wicked if it were
not for your grace. We are no different in and of ourselves. We have nothing. We have no righteousness that comes from us. And so we thank you that your grace has made us upright, and your grace has made us the righteous in Christ, who is our righteousness. Father, give us confidence to take refuge in you, and to know that in you we cannot be shaken, because you certainly are never shaken. And so if we are in you, we are never shaken. Give us that perspective and give us that hope as the anchor for our souls today. Father, we do continue to pray for our frontline workers, healthcare providers, doctors, nurses, nurses' aides, techs, respiratory therapists, those who are on the front lines battling COVID-19. We pray for them that you would give them strength. We pray for scientists, research scientists who are conducting clinical trials on medications and vaccines. We pray that you would be gracious to give us effective medical treatment and effective vaccinations against this COVID-19 virus. But Father, we pray for your church during this time, that you would strengthen and support your people, that you would turn our hearts toward you, and that you would make us salt and light to a world that needs to hear from you. Father, we pray for our government leaders, that you would give them wisdom as they make decisions about what is best to keep us safe and to prevent the spread. Help us to be obedient for the sake of the love of our neighbor and the honor of the authorities that you've placed in charge of us. Help us not to be rebellious, self-serving, or self-pitying. Father, be with those who continue to work to serve us in all areas of life. Grocery store workers, pharmacy workers, bank workers, construction people. Father, be with them. And be with those who have lost their jobs, Father. May they be provided for. If we know people who have lost their jobs, may we be part of your answer to provide for them during this time. Father, we ask that you would be with those who've lost loved ones. We know of a Reformed Presbyterian pastor who went to be with you because of COVID-19 yesterday. We pray that you'd be with him and with his family, Father, as you've welcomed him into your presence. Be with his family, comfort them, be with his church family, be with those at Geneva College where he served and ministered to students for years. Father, as you are using this in some cases to call your servants home, may it be a time to rejoice in the hope of the gospel. And for those who don't know you, may it be a time to wake them up and turn their hearts toward you. We pray all these things, Father, for your glory and in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I will see you Friday morning back here for another Psalms devotional. So Friday morning at 8:30 back here for another Psalms devotional. Thank you for joining in, and may God bless you with a wonderful day today by his grace and for his glory.